Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green and Rob Misch here to talk about UNLV's first loss of the season on the hardwood, 73-55 at the hands of Cal tonight, Friday night, in the Global Sports Classic. We're going to be here just a little bit with you tonight. Tomorrow night we'll have a little bit more of an extended Rebel Room postgame edition to analyze the weekend as a whole. That, of course, will be after UNLV takes on Cincinnati Saturday evening at 5 p.m. at the MAC. But first, I guess we'll get the weekend kicked off by talking about UNLV Cal. The shooting tells a lot of the story. 19 of 64 for the Rebels, under 30%. And they really never found a rhythm offensively, it seemed.
No, it was a pretty bad performance by them. Cal played, as anybody who saw the game and went to the game, it was outstanding defense, great they were just all over them, everywhere, just about. And Mike McCormick told me that the one area they really wanted to take away was they wanted to keep an eye on Dagher on the pick and rolls. He noticed that it was an NBA-type thing on the film, that where they like to bring Dagher up and flash him out and get him open, and they were hounding him. And you saw some pretty bad three-point shots tonight. You saw some ugly ones by Dagher. You saw an air ball by Kendall Wallace. It was kind of the perfect storm of events for UNLV. You could kind of see this coming. Anybody who didn't probably doesn't own a mirror.
May have the red and black sunglasses on.
Maybe. But, you know, UNLV had some poor shooting performances in those first few games, and everybody saw it, and some of those games were much too close for a lot of people's desires. And then you look flash forward to the 13-point deficit at El Paso. And I think a lot of UNLV fans probably had a lot of sweaty palms over that first week and a half of the season. And then tonight, like I said, perfect storm. Cal comes in with the best three-point shooting percentage in the country. UNLV isn't on. Those things kept going, and boom, got
they
a big loss.
They lived up to it, too. 70%, 7 of 10 from deep with Cal, including hitting their first four. In an opening few minutes stretch that really just set the tone for everything, I think you could say they it seemed like they just couldn't miss, and they really couldn't miss, I guess, in a sense, anywhere on the floor. They were defending well. They were, you know, plays were just being executed to perfection. It looked like they were getting whatever they wanted in the first few minutes, and they really dictated the tempo early on.
Yeah, like Kruger said, they got punched in the nose, and Cal hit for five of their first 6 3-pointers. By that time, it was a double-digit lead that really wasn't threatened. Even when Cal had that cold period in the second half, they got one field goal within 10 minutes. UNLV put together a little 7-0 spurt, and then Cal scored a little. UNLV came back with a little 7-0 spurt. Those two 7-0 spurts, you know, should have been double figures, both of them. But within that stretch, you had a very ugly three by Dagher. You had a very, very ugly air ball by Kendall Wallace. The games like this, situations like this, is when UNLV needs that 30-point effort off the bench. They got a couple of them during those first four games. Tonight is when they needed 30 points. They did not get it. They got 18 points. But this is when you need three-pointers by Kendall Wallace.
Yep.
You need Mo Rutledge to step up with a three-pointer, maybe a couple putbacks, and really get some key rebounds, and they didn't get it.
And Rutledge's one bucket was in transition off a very nice feed. And, it's funny you mentioned that, because that was during one of those second half opportunities where the door was left wide open for UNLV to crawl back in. They trailed by as many as 20 in the second half. And, there was that stretch where Cal goes from about the 13-minute mark to about the 3-minute mark and only hits two field goals. But UNLV just couldn't string enough offense together in that stretch to really get anything done. They got it back to within 9. But, a couple threes fall, and they could have had maybe even a much better chance to change things in the end. That was a very tough stretch to watch, because you could see Cal, struggling. And they were, it almost looked for a few minutes like they were playing not to lose, just to hold on to that lead. They were slowing it down. Randall would be dribbling it around for 8 seconds up at the top of the key. and UNLV just wasn't able to capitalize on it.
Well, look, you know, Montgomery plays one guy 37 minutes, another guy 38 minutes, another guy 31 minutes. So maybe that's a stretch where, okay, things aren't working. I mean, any human being's going to need a little blow, a little rest at some point. So maybe they were kind of on their heels just a little back. But there was no point in this game when they were on their heels like UNLV was for so much.
Yeah.
Even Mo's fast break bucket on the left side, he had to work for. That wasn't easy. So you got to give Cal a whole lot of credit for just getting their noses up and everything UNLV was trying to do tonight. There was some questionable fouls, but you know what? Even that was pretty even. It turned out to be 18 fouls on Cal, 19 on UNLV. The free throws were relatively the same, you know, 21 for Cal, 19 for UNLV, but UNLV didn't hit them. They had only had, you know, 12 makes at the free throw line. So you got to hit your free throws. You got to get more production off the bench, and you need more production from those three seniors that you count on so much that you only got 21 points from tonight.
6 of 30 combined between Rougeau, Darger, and Adams from the floor. And then, you know, you mentioned the bench. You know, UNLV also had a little bit bigger of a palette to work with on the canvas because they had, you know, they had four guys come off the bench and play double-digit minutes. Cal had only two that played double-digit minutes off the bench, and really only two guys that saw extended, you know, series on the floor off the bench, and that was in Jorge Gutierrez and Harper Camp. So, that, you know, that UNLV just wasn't able to take advantage of that depth advantage, which it did have over Cal.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good in numbers, but let's be realistic, too. Those first four games that were maybe a little closer than people would have liked, closer than Kruger would have liked, you know, he really didn't have the luxury to go very deep, very consistently in his bench because they had to worry about getting the victory.
Yeah.
So you need your top guns up there to get the victory, and there was just very little wiggle room to get the subs in, to get them a lot of time, to get them comfortable, to get to watch them produce. That really wasn't afforded. That wasn't a luxury those first four or five games. And, you know, so they in a game like tonight's, they kind of pay for it.
All right. Well, like we said, Saturday evening, UNLV now takes on Cincinnati in what I guess is you would technically consider the consolation game of the Global Sports Classic. Cincinnati looked even rougher against Florida State than UNLV looked against Cal at times, and they lost 58-47 to the Seminoles, a very young team in Cincinnati, just two seniors. They rely a lot on young guys, a lot of big bodies to throw at them, but really not much. They had five their one big guy that they can count on is Mike Williams, a Texas transfer. He had 11 and 11 tonight. Outside of him, their other five big guys they threw out there combined for 9 points and 12 rebounds in 96 minutes. Mm. So they were not productive tonight, and you would have to think that Lon Kruger's going to try to make them have to do some work again tomorrow.
I'll take the under. Williams is an interesting story. He didn't play the last two seasons. Yeah. He transferred from Texas, and then he blew his Achilles last year. Mm-hmm. So he's just getting warm and getting used to playing, and that's pretty impressive that he could do a double-double tonight. Mm-hmm. But I think this is going to be probably a real sluggish affair tomorrow night. The key thing to look, on my view, would probably be, well, let's go back a year ago. UNLV lost to Louisville by 20. Very similar game to tonight's loss to Cal. Maybe not in the same way, shape, form, fashion, whatever you want to call it, but it was a butt-whipping.
Mm-hmm.
So how did they respond last year? They came back and beat Reno by 12 3 days later. I think probably the best thing about tonight's game is they get to play tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get a quick turnaround, get this out of their head, get it out of their mind, and just have another game to play real quick. And
probably favors UNLV, too.
Probably.
A little bit more of a veteran club.
Yeah, definitely. So can they come back and have a double-digit victory like they did last year? That's something to point to. They have a point of reference to go to last season to see how they rebounded in such a deal. And let's see if they can match it and show that they learned something.
And a good little oddball stat to leave you with. UNLV is 13-1 coming off of its last 14 losses.
Damn, so, you're good.
Yeah, I dig. Actually, I give credit for that one to Andy Grossman.
Oh, good
over
man.
At UNLV, a good man. But any final comments tonight, Rob?
No, I don't think so. I think we saw, you know what's It'll be interesting to see how Rene Rougeau bounces back from this game. 1-for-9.
Awful.
Pitiful from the field. But that guy is still, he's getting his hands in other areas. He's doing different things. 11 rebounds. He had 3 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Can he get his shot to fall, though? He hasn't had a breakout game. He hasn't had 20 points as a Rebel. How about that?
Yeah.
So can he do that when they need it? When they need it.
And 2 of those 4 fouls were of the offensive variety, too. Going hard to the basket, trying to get him out of momentum, changing play. For example, on that dunk, he tried to flush down the baseline. So, like you said, getting his hands in a lot of things.
Yeah, some questionable calls, but any crew with, so you know what, if Dave Hall is again the official of record tomorrow night, then look for the under.
And you know what, poor officiating doesn't make up for 18 points.
Sure does.
Nope. So, well, anyway, for Rob Nish, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Post Game Edition. We will talk to you again tomorrow night after UNLV Cincinnati. Until then.